Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, November the 11th, 2025. 11-11-25. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. 11-11 Make-A-Wish, I think, is the day. And we've already got somebody waiting on the phone line, so let's go there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, like you're trying to say, there's a big difference. When Ron Prater does it, he's an elected council member in the city. He has a district and he's supposed to represent. Plus, he also represents everybody in Marion. Okay? That is not right for somebody to do things like that. Now, you want to say Don Rickles. Well, Don Rickles is a professional comedian. Okay, if he done something like that, it wouldn't be as bad. He does not represent any citizen of this country. There are Muslims that are citizens. When Donald Trump does his shit and his lies, he represents the people. He's a leader of this country. And for the crap he puts out and puts down people and drops shit on people. I mean, I didn't hear previous caller getting all upset about that.
Well, here's the problem, and I don't know why people think they're funny. And being a comedian, I've interviewed a lot of great comedians: Phyllis Diller, Joan Rivers, Shecky Green, people of that nature, Jackie Mason. You know, I've interviewed Mike Larson. I've interviewed a lot of great comedians, and they will all tell you that it's very hard to be a comedian, and when you land a bad joke, it's death. It's not good. Look what happened to Kathy Griffin in this country when she did the thing with Trump's head. Now, also, we have had comedians elected to office. Al Franken was a brilliant comedic writer for Saturday Night Live. He was elected to Senate, I believe, and he didn't come in there telling jokes. And I think I don't think people get that it's not. People are not as funny as they think they are, and they might laugh to themselves, and their friends might laugh, give them a pity laugh, but it's not funny to the masses. There are certain things that are not funny to people, and I know memes, I think the purpose is to try to be funny, but they're not all funny, and you can't stop people from getting angry.
When somebody is representing the people, if you're a professional comedian and you get elected like, you know, Al did, then you don't do comedy like that against especially certain groups. You might do some, you know, some comedy maybe, but you don't do it for certain groups of people. You are representing everyone. Ron Prater is representing blacks, Muslims, Spanish people, Mexicans, because we have them in the city.
Well, I guess I'm...
You do not do comedy like that.
Well, I guess
that's why there's not more out people, you know, holding Trump and sick of... That's his whole political philosophy, call people names.
Well, I guess the thing of Ron Prater is this. Nobody came last night. He did not have to say anything. And he did. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I shouldn't have done it. He said, you know, I've been political all my life, and this is something I should not have done. Now, he said people should not call him a racist and a misogynist because he's not, but he didn't have to make any statement last night. Nobody was forcing him to. Nobody was making him do that. He didn't have to call in here on Friday night and say what he did. So, I mean, the man has taken the brunt of what happened, and he's apologized for it. So I don't know why we're having the if he feels he shouldn't have done it, then why are we having the conversation about it?
But, you know, people do things all the time like that, and then they think if they come out and apologize. But when he made that comment against the Muslims, he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, I don't think he likes Muslims, you know. I don't like to be around Muslims myself. But I'm not going to discriminate against them. I'm not going to call them, you know, names and make comedy of them. I mean, there's no group in this country that should be made fun of.
Well, and I guess,
and it even includes American Indians.
Well, how about the $25,000 last night from City Council to the to be used for people who did not get their SNAP benefits?
Well, yeah, I think that's great, but we don't really know if we got that money to spend. But that was a good use, a lot better use of money than what they have been using money for, especially that thing in the park over the strongest city, which that doesn't mean getting elected at the strongest city don't mean crap.
Yeah, but we've got to say, for all the people that voted for that, every single one of those people voted last night to disperse this $25,000, and that's more than double what they spent on the party.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll come, but it seems like these 8 Democratic senators, they're just throwing people under the bus. You know what Trump thinks of health care. He don't think the government should be providing health care for people at all. And you know what he thinks of food stamps. You know, that's the next thing he's going to try to cut. He thinks people can go, if they want to eat, they get out there and work.
Well, it doesn't sound like his party is going to go for that. I mean, they were very big on getting this the SNAP benefits restarted.
We'll wait and see. Whatever Trump does, people fall in line because they're so scared of his backlash.
Well, and I should all mention last night, Aaron Rollins, excuse me, gave a very interesting fact last night, that every dollar spent from the food card comes back into the economy. I think it was $1.70-something. I didn't write down the exact number. But he seconded Ayers very heavy and voted very much in support of this $25,000 and seemed to be very supportive of the food card. Now, this is this Republican who was also, I think he's a libertarian. He prefers to be called a libertarian, but runs under the Republican label, just reelected, and will be there on council. So, you know, Aaron was very active last night. You got to give him a lot of credit for that. He voted against the economic development position. He inserted language into the local codes office for commercial buildings that we need to see how this goes and only have it for a year. He seconded and voted very heavily for the $25,000 to help people in need. So Aaron Rollins was very active last night, and I'll tell you, like him or dislike him, the people who voted for him certainly saw a lot of action from their reelected councilman last night.
Yeah, that was good, but, you know, like Christian was saying, we got to get away from wanting to spend money for economic development in the city, the downtown. The downtown is never going to be a great hub for businesses.
Well,
we got to get that, you know, in our heads. And this economic development you know, if we give him a salary of what, I don't know, $100,000?
$120,000, I think, is what it'll be.
Do you think that in 1 year he's going to bring in enough economic development to pay that $120,000?
Well, time will tell, and I think people will have questions.
When you start a business these days, Scott, it's not like it was when my dad started some businesses. You have to almost hire architects, deal, you know, everybody gets a copy of them, the health department, you know, always, you know, to even do anything. And then that costs you money. And then they all come in and tell you about, you know, changes, you know, we don't want this. It's just unreal.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anybody can call back in. 24 minutes past the hour here. We take all phone calls, and I think it's an interesting morning. And I think it's an interesting conversation to have as we go along. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes.
You know, I would like to get something cleared up. You've been to all of the council meetings when the mayor's talking about the salary for this proposed economic development director.
Yeah.
Now, he keeps saying $120,000, $60,000 by the city, $60,000 by the county. And then he drops back and says $40,000. Which is it? Are they going to, is the city's share $40,000 or $60,000?
You know, I didn't understand that last night when he said $40,000.
Because he said it previous meetings, numerous times, you know? So, what the, you know, it's unbelievable. It's obvious the guy doesn't know what the hell he is doing. He's never run a free enterprise. He's always been a bureaucrat. He's always had a budget, etc. Now he has to create a budget and find where monies are.
I don't know if he was...
Programs
he,
go.
He might have been talking about the $40,000 that was saved because they did not pay CanDo this year.
No. He clearly said the salary, the city's part would be $40,000. And the counties, and then he comes back and they say $60,000, $120,000 salary. And then there was into some kind of obtuse argument about in the job description, well, maybe the guy has less experience, etc., and he doesn't get that $120,000, which, why the hell would we even consider hiring somebody with a minuscule amount of experience?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure about any of these. I here's the problem. Now, the base salary is $120,000. Now, it's my understanding from what I've heard before is that you also have to pay benefits. And benefits were going to be somewhere in the area of 20 to 40. I thought I heard at one point.
Which is so bloody ridiculous, it isn't funny at all. Talk to any actuary. Talk to any insurance company.
Well, they passed
those
it last
kinds
night.
Of benefits? Jeez.
Well, they passed it.
Yeah. Well, I find it amazing because, number one, in the job description, really, no experience required. No bachelor's degree in business development. No experience, period. Essentially, no credentials. So, my question is, from a lot of rumors that are around there, gee, this sounds like they've made it specifically for Michael Bodine, you know? Which we've all seen in the past, a week ago Monday, front page, Michael Bodine. He doesn't have any experience in this, this, or that, but yet Here he is, service director, and he's only got a degree from Tri Rivers, and that's it. And he's in there, and he's spending all kinds of money redecorating his office, plastering Love Your City all over the place, and the new City of Marion logos all over the place.
Well, I don't know. I think
you know, the mayor and whoever he's working with, here it is, all of these months, he hasn't put together a business plan. So he has no idea what he's doing. He's pulling numbers out of the air. And this is just for an economic development director. Is he not going to fund all the office, all the ancillary things that are necessary to run an office and to conduct business? Where's the office space?
Well, it'll either be here in City Hall, or it could be in the county building, or a combination. That's his answer, you know?
And reports to the mayor. You know, city council has more people than what the county commissioners have. How is there parity or equity in voting one way or another on any particular issue?
This is the way it was set up. This is the way it was presented, and the vote was 7-2.
Well, those two who voted against it, they seem to know more and understand more, period. But it's doomed to failure. Doomed to failure. They say, well, this way we can have more control over economic development. Baloney.
Well, one of the big supporters
gave $40,000 a year for over 11 years to Can-Do.
Well,
did they not attach stipulations to that? Okay, we give you $40,000. I want to see quarterly reports. I want to see what your database of contacts are so that we can know how many prospects you have in the pipeline. Do we have that? No. You know, what's going to happen? You know, here we got, apparently it looked like Can-Do is going to fade away. Name recognition with Can-Do has been over 30 years. Now all of a sudden, something new? And if they're going to use the Can-Do thing, will private enterprise, namely Can-Do, have that copyrighted? So now it's going to cost the city more to use that Can-Do? There are a lot of things, and it is wishful thinking without any practicality.
Well, we got to say that last night, somebody who gave a very positive speech about this and said he was all for it was Ayers Ratliff.
Well, you know, I find it funny because Ayers Ratliff was really opposed to Can-Do, but the simple fact of the matter is, hey, they have always had the right to put strings attached to that money to Can-Do. We're not, and blindly they gave $40,000 a year to Can-Do, and this is what you get when you just, oh, you know, it's just like Jack. What was the story of Jack at a Beanstalk? He was going to market and somebody said, hey, here's some magic beans, you know?
It's ridiculous.
We don't know what we're buying.
Well, and also somebody else who was sounded like a very heavy supporter of this, gave a very impassioned speech, was former Councilman Josh Daniels.
He was there last night?
He was there last night. Well, he didn't give the speech last night. The speech came a few weeks ago.
Night.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, but a few weeks ago, he said he wanted to congratulate the mayor on creating this position and getting away from Can-Do. He'd had problems with Can-Do for years, so on and so forth.
All I can say is, so what?
Well, I'm just saying, these are the people who were backing the mayor in this. If the mayor didn't have any traction, I don't think he could have gotten anywhere, and he got seven votes.
And those are the people that would say, Emperor, your new clothes are just, they're the tops, Emperor. You look so cool. And Aaron Rollins and Jason Chauver would say, you know something, Emperor? You're naked.
Nope, there we go. Well, thanks for calling.
to a better tomorrow.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody would like to call in, feel free on this very eventful morning, 33 minutes past the hour, 11:25. But, again, I the big story out of last night, well, we'll take the phone call, then we'll come back to this conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. I'm just thinking about the what I said in the first hour, and I don't know. I think the one of the main points I was trying to make was that regardless of what a public official says, they are a public official, so everything that they say should be held to a higher standard. Irrespective of what that is, you know, if you disagree or not, if someone, you know, a public official, you know, their job is to be, even if they're doing something in a personal capacity or not, everything they do is on behalf of the city and representing the city. So if, you know, they want to say something questionable or, you know, share something questionable, you know, they really shouldn't, because it's, you know, a negative look on the city, no matter, you know, which way you slice it. And that's true for members of city council, for school board members, and for, you know, U.S. senators.
So is it just, this is comedy, and the fact that nobody showed up last night to admonish him from the audience, is that a problem?
I mean, not particularly, because I think after he came on your show, that really addressed a lot of problems. Like, you know, I don't think anyone, I don't really have a solid position on this. I'm just, you know, talking about it because it's something that happened in the news. I know that there are things that, you know, everyone in the world finds funny that, you know, you probably wouldn't, you know, share with everybody because, you don't know how it'll be received. You know, everybody has the ability to laugh at things, but you know, it's not a matter of comedy. It's a matter of, you know, as a public official, you know, what puts the best face on the city.
Well, and so, again, as I said, the conversation we're having is very interesting because Mr. Prater did come on Friday night, the day that it happened, and he did apologize, and he did say he regretted doing it. And last night, without any prompting from anybody, he did speak on it, and he did say he regretted it. He did take it down, and he did say he was sorry. So, I mean, I guess if he felt that way, I don't know why the conversation... I don't know. It's just different to me because he's apologized. So, you know, that should be it.
I mean, look, he's apologized, and the people who didn't agree with it, they've, you know, voiced their concerns. And I'm sure if any resident was losing sleep over it, they would have been there last night. But I think the fact that he apologized, I think that's sort of the end of it. And I think, you know, it's just a lesson for, you know, everyone in local, you know, elected office to, you know, just be more mindful of what you're doing on the internet. It's a lesson to everybody to be more mindful of what you're doing on the internet. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, again, you are in a position of public trust. So you are, you know, everything you do is, you know, on behalf of the city and will be a reflection of the city.
And we keep moving on down the road. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, of course.
Always interesting to hear from Christian down in Southern Ohio at college. But calling in, still listening, still staying involved in the Marion political scene. 37 minutes past the hour here. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody has anything to say, feel free to weigh in. We can certainly do that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I just wanted to call in and offer a little of my opinion on this Burka Gate thing.
Oh, please do.
I want to kind of piggyback off what Christian just said, that, you know, any person who runs for office or goes for an elected office is running for a leadership position. And as Christian said, you know, you have to be cognizant that you're representing all the people. what you say and do in the public forum is going to be scrutinized, is going to be held under a microscope. All of that being said, on the Ron Prater thing, you know, you have a caller that expresses their frustration with the voters and the people and calls them gutless for expressing their displeasure with a public official's actions on and used their names. They didn't do it anonymously. They expressed it on an internationally recognized public forum, Facebook, and, you know, did they not show up in the meeting? Sure, they didn't show up. I would have wished they had and would have expressed their opinions, you know, in person. But on the other side of it, you know, this caller also expressed that, you know, Ron Prater caved to pressure, to public pressure. If you're a leader, I don't care if it's Ron Prater, Donald Trump, or Joe Biden, if you're a leader, you got to make tough decisions. And if I'm going to make a decision, and I'm going to put a meme out there, or I'm going to put an opinion out there, or whatever, I'm going to, one, be cognizant of what I'm doing before I send it. You know, I probably ran on, I'm going to do things better than the guy before me or the person before me. Now, in the midst of doing my job, I get in a kerfuffle, as you say, and then now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just got caught up and I sent a meme and I really didn't pay attention and this, that, and the other. No, what you do when nobody's looking is who you really are. You know, if you cave to public pressure as a leader, then you're not much of leadership material, in my opinion. You have to be willing to stand on your beliefs. People are going to buck what you say. They're going to come against you. It's not a popularity contest. It's not, hey, I only work for my buddies. So, you know, when your caller gets this frustration about, you know, they're gutless for expressing this, I truly believe the gutless one is the leader who caves to public pressure.
Well, and that's an interesting take, because, you know, a lot of people don't show up to city council meetings and say these things to people's faces. A lot do, and a lot of people just sit behind Facebook, and they do the memes, and they do their things, and I guess that's good enough for them. So where do we draw the line? And I think, you know, I just don't like the fallback that it's comedy, because when somebody gets caught or people get angry with them, that's always their cop-out. Well, that was supposed to be funny. Well, are you a professional comedian? You know, I don't know that it always is meant to be funny. I don't think so. You know,
You know what? Is it funny? I guess my test to a lot of that stuff is it funny when the other guy does it? You know, when your opponent, when the guy from the D party or the R party or whoever, you know, does it, is it still funny to you? I mean, there seems to be selective funniness in our world today and selective, you know.
Well, that's true. Hey, I wanted to get your opinion. What do you make of the $25,000 suggestion last night, motion that Ayers Ratliff put on the floor, voted unanimously by city council to go to people who are in need of food help, help with food, SNAP recipients, so on and so forth. And I did have an email exchange with the mayor this morning, and he said as soon as he figures out how they're going to disburse this money, he will let us all know. So he's working on it.
You know, anybody that knows me, I've got an opinion on everything. I think, you know, all the social programs, they should be bridges. I don't think they should be a lifestyle. I'm all for that we, as a country, we take care of the least of these. I'm real big about, you know, as I said, bridging. But you know, and I'm going to take a lot of heat for this. There is a ton of abuse and fraud in the community action systems, not the community action per se, that entity, but in the social programs. You have people that live off it. You have the people who administer it. I mean, if you've got 20 million, 40 million people, it takes a lot of people, a lot of intake personnel to do all that. And if you cut that in half and get rid of the fraud and waste, then you don't need all of those people. And so then you don't need directors, and you don't need, you know, whole big office buildings with all these people getting OPERS retirements and all of this. You know, me saying that I'm all for getting rid of this fraud and everything does not have anything to do with my opinion on SNAP. And all. I think they are good programs. I think there are a lot of good programs. I think just like, you know, just to go sideways a little bit, even with unions and other things in our world, the EPA, OSHA, they are all good things. They are also bureaucracies, and they are run by mankind. And the weak link and the strong link in anything is mankind. You know, bureaucracy is going to, people want to keep their jobs. They want to keep their retirements. So it's a problem. So I'm happy that they're doing it. I'm all for it. I don't think that this is the right way to solve these problems, as holding the people, the least of these, you know, hostage during the government shutdown. The same thing, I was against the increase in fees on the bus fares and all of that, but you know, it seems like they pick on the least of these, and you know, they seem to come up with billions and billions and billions of dollars in a heartbeat for corporations and things like that. So I think just like with levies, I think like with property taxes, you know, MRDD, all of that kind of thing, you know, we can't keep saying, well, it's for the kids. Well, you know, 25 years ago it was said you can't keep doing this, so get a new plan. But for 25 years plus, we've voted for the kids, and as long as you continue to do that, you're never going to get a new plan. So we sometimes there's got to be a little pain for some gain.
Well, and I think that there certainly is a valid point to be made there, and I certainly am not sure that people would, I don't know of anybody who would argue for fraud and abuse of a government program, but I do think what this has shown us, this, I guess, what are we at now, 11 plus days without the SNAP benefits for people who need them, is that when you ask for help, people will give you help, including government. Because that vote last night was not expected, it was not on the agenda, and that is an 8-1 Republican council that all voted unanimously. That's more than the party in the park got. There was one dissenting vote for the 10,000 for the party in the park. And I think when a group like that votes unanimously with no preparation to disburse 25,000 and give Twyla Lang credit, because she's the one who said, hey, if we can't use this opioid money, is there any other route we can go? And that's exactly what happened last night. If the opioid money cannot be used for it, the general fund will be used for it. So these are important things that I think are people should pay attention to, because that's what government decided to do. Those are your elected officials. If you don't like them, vote them out. But every single one of them last night said, my community, my ward, my city needs this help, and we are going to meet the need. Now, that to me is what government's supposed to do. If they all voted no, well, then it wouldn't have happened. So that's...
Well, absolutely, because right and wrong isn't political. Right and wrong doesn't have anything to do with whose mouth it comes out of, or whose voice is behind it, or my image behind it. You know, right and wrong is right and wrong.
Right, and I think another point, and I just heard this recently, I have known people who had to give up social media, and this is back to the Burka story, that I've known people who had to give up social media because people were, I guess you'd call it bullying them. Now, is that funny? I mean, it's certainly not funny to them. So, I don't know. I don't think these things... Yeah, if somebody's the butt of your joke, oh, it might be funny to you, and it might be funny to a few other people, but what does that say about you, that you have to do that? Can't you handle this in other ways?
Exactly. I mean, I grew up with a big red birthmark on my face, and, you know, hey, Kool-Aid stain, hey, jelly face, and all of that. people are cruel. And, you know, with social media, people are able to get online and be internet bullies and keyboard thugs and all of that. I saw last night, I saw people working together, getting past the R and the D. I saw people getting up from the community and say, thank you, you know, for doing this, and thank you. And obviously, we don't agree with everything, or everything that comes out of that person's mouth or that person's mouth or whatever, but we get nowhere by doing this bickering, and we're not going to talk to each other, period. You know, that's why I vote independent. I mean, I can see things from a Democrat perspective. I can see things from a Republican perspective. I'm not an all-or-nothing person, and I don't think there's very many things, if any, really, in life that are either-or. I think as a society, we look for cookie-cutter solutions, and we look for, like, well, if we change this one little thing, that's going to fix all the problems. It doesn't work that way. It's usually a cumulative effect of things that create a problem. So it's probably going to be a, you know, you're going to have to do away with many, many different things or fix many different things to solve the problem.
That's right. Hey, very good thoughts. Thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. And again, the phone lines are open 49 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We will take the phone calls from whoever would like to call in. We like hearing from people. This is, you know, I've always said, hopefully we're the town square of this city. And hopefully this morning we're learning or living up to that. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Scott, I need an hour and 50-minute rundown in a minute. So tell me what's happened this morning.
Well, essentially, Christian started off the program because we didn't get to finish with him yesterday, and
Right, darn it, and I missed it. I was on the phone, sorry. Yep.
No, we talked about everything that happened at council last night. You were there, and we talked about mm-hmm. that, and he was all very popular. Then we talked a little bit about national politics, and he felt the Democrats were a little weak in their position for caving on the government shutdown, those eight Democrats. But then we moved on, and Terry Klein called in, and he felt that Ron Prater should not have backed off his position, and was that nobody showed up last night to call him on the carpet. That was wrong. And I hope if I'm misquoting Terry, he'll set me straight on this.
That was kind of what I was curious about, because I think I heard you and Phil touching on it briefly. I agree that no one showed up to say anything to Prater. So I wasn't going to say anything either. I was just going to let it go. But you don't get to apologize and say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. People do it, and then, so just stop calling me names. Just let it go. That's not how apologies work. You give an apology, and either someone accepts it or they don't accept it. You don't get to sit up there as an unelected official and tell us to stop being upset with what you did. I said what I said on social media. I mean, I think it's a bigoted thing to say, and I think it's ironic that when a woman told him no, he got mad after he just got finished saying, I'm not a misogynist, but you just got mad. Let me tell you about Mr. Prater and not being a misogynist. Jason Schaber and Aaron Rollins had a thing back in March down at Martin Luther King Park, and Ralph Smith and Ron Prater showed up unannounced also. We weren't inside of City Hall, so they didn't have anybody to gavel me. So when I started asking them tough questions and Ron Prater started yelling at me and raising his voice, I started yelling at him and raising my voice and pointing my finger back. And he didn't like that. And I told him, guess what? You don't have anyone here with a gavel to protect you from me. And he shut up and left. So I think there is some misogynist there, but when you've got to get up there and say, I'm not this, I'm not that, and the people that really know me, they know the truth. And that, you know, that's like saying, I'm not racist, I have black friends. Okay, you got on your show Friday night, I'm not racist, I'm not all these other things. My wife's a Buddhist. Okay, you know one person that's different than you. That doesn't mean that you don't hold other biases. So when you start doing things like that, you just dig your own hole. So I'm with Terry. He should have just left it and left it alone and just took the heat. But by covering up, like we always say, the cover up's worse than the crime.
Well,
you know, don't get up there and try to convince us of something and then stop saying it. If you want to, okay, get to know me. Get to know that that's not really the type of person I am, instead of getting up there and telling us what to do.
Well, I think last night was an interesting moment because he didn't have to say anything because it became clear at some point that it was not going to come up. And
right.
Before that meeting closed, he brought it up himself. Now, I don't know.
That wasn't a very good mea culpa, do you think?
Well, I think it wasn't prepared, which I think a lot of times we knock politicians for that, you know, you write it down and then you do your little preparation. So I think he did what he did off the cuff. He did apologize. He didn't have to say anything. So, you know...
You don't get to apologize and then say... So, I know it's Dr. Phil, but Dr. Phil always used to say, when you would say something, you know, like, I learned my lesson, but everything that you said up to the word but doesn't count. So, I'm sorry for the things I said, but sometimes you... No, you're not sorry for the things you said because you just made an excuse for the things you said. Either you own it or you don't. And if you don't own it, then you're not truly sorry. So no, he should not have gotten up there and won it through an apology.
Well,
he should have at least had maybe the little, if you don't want a full-on red statement like Twyla does for 5 minutes, have your little note card with a couple points that you want to hit.
Well, I do think the big story last night's the $25,000. Now, I think a lot of people will feel this is a bad
thing. People are shitty about that this morning.
Well, yeah.
I had someone accidentally, who's supposed to be my friend, accidentally send me a message that was supposed to go to somebody else. They accidentally inboxed it to me while I was on my laptop. I was on a Google Meet, and it popped up in the corner of my computer, my messenger did. And I actually read it out loud to the person that I was on, and it was like, she's probably going to come after us for saying this, that kids get fed breakfast and lunch at school. We don't need to be giving any more money to these food banks to feed lazy people. And I didn't get a chance to screenshot it because I was on my laptop, but when I went to my phone to screenshot it, it had been deleted. So that person is no longer on my friends list.
Well, what I think's interesting about it, and there was no doubt in my mind that there will be people who feel that that is not
so
the proper thing
gross.
To do.
It is disgusting.
But there
do
are
not
people...
not call yourself a Christian if you have a problem with people getting fed. Sorry.
Well, listen, on the Facebook Live we
I'm
did...
I'm not sorry. I'm sorry for hijacking your show.
No, I'm just saying. On the Facebook Live I did on Saturday night, this became a topic. And it was interesting because there were people who feel that it is not government's place at all to be involved in this. So what was done last night, people feel...
Okay, but isn't that our money? Isn't that
well? That's the other
money?
Side. That's the other side of the argument. Is
so?
I
would
mean,
you rather have your money feeding kids and seniors and maybe an occasional lazy ass, or would you rather have it wrapping vehicles and putting stickers on walls and paying people six figures for economic development?
Well, and I think that's the other side is, as I was just saying to the previous caller, is that this passed unanimously. This was not planned.
You would have looked like a real asshole if you didn't vote for this.
Well, but it did. It did pass unanimously, and so that means everybody up there felt that though the people in their ward would be either unhappy with them or needed the help, and that's what the isn't that what a public official is supposed to do?
When I got up there and said the strongest town would feed its citizens, and there's no way that we can vote for a $10,000 party in the park but not vote for this, like I said, you'd look like a real dirtbag if you didn't vote for it at that point.
I don't think anybody, and I think I said this last night on the Facebook Live, I said if it comes up Monday
did
night.
Did you do a live last, Saturday night.
Saturday night,
like,
Saturday night.
Be doing
no, not
live
last
on
night,
Monday
Saturday
night.
Too.
Fears, I can't handle
I know. Well, I said, there were some council people involved in this call, and I said, I don't believe if posed to this council, and I said this Saturday night, I said, I do not believe anybody will vote against it, and they didn't. And I believe the reason for that, I'm looking at that council.
I do believe that I would, you know what, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, especially since the holiday season is upon us. I believe that there is compassion that exists inside their hearts and they knew this was the right thing to do.
And
about that.
There and I think that's right because
you hear that hope springing eternal.
Hope springs eternal, as we always say. And I always want to say that the point that happened last night was I've always said whether you disagree or agree with what the council's doing, I think they believe it's what's right, and I do believe they thought that was right last night unanimously.
Yes.
And the mayor this morning...
I hope that we to follow through, and I hope that we do this. You know what? Brad Belcher had a great point. I hadn't even thought about it, that all of the people, and, you know, I saw people today on Facebook, well, it should be, if it's supposed to be drug treatment money, it should be this, that, the other. Brad Belcher presented the fact that people that live in these community halfway houses and sort of things, they rely on SNAP to feed themselves while they're transitioning from a bad place in life to a better place in life. So we're talking about people that are in recovery now not being able to be fed when they're historically, you know, they have an addiction issue. It's going to be real easy to go right back to stealing and using and slinging and everything else. So this is more than just feeding hungry kids. This really is helping our community all the way around.
Very interesting.
You know, I mean, it's a good thing. I hope we do it, and I hope everyone benefits from it that really needs it.
Thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, we might have time for one more call. If somebody wants to get in, we've got about a minute and a half. And I didn't even have to say that, and the phone already rang. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I think people's a little bit misunderstood. Terry was not saying that Ron Prater did anything bad. He was taking up for Ron Prater. Right.
He was saying that Mr. Prater only apologized because he felt he had to, because people were on him.
And he didn't think people should be on him. That he thought that was right for him to say that. He said, Don Rickles, you know, if he was saying something like that, he couldn't do that in today's age. And it's right to make fun of people. But Rickles is a professional comedian.
Well, let me get this in here, because we're going to run out. You like the conversation this morning? We're having the conversation, I think. But this is from the peanut butter jelly truck just about 8 minutes ago. Great work, Marion. During the time we would normally have served 300 meals to Marion's 35,000 people, our community increased to over 1,000 plus, 60
wow,
grocery bags. What an amazing response on such short notice. Here are a few statistics about our city. Now, this is it. During this time, we would have, well, I told you what they just would have normally served, 11,000 people in Marion received SNAP. That's an increase of 1,000 people in the last 3 years. 55% have one person or working. 4,000 SNAP recipients are children. 4,000 additional adults are food insecure and don't qualify for help. Working families, seniors, disabled. 5,000 total hungry kids in Marion. 4,000 on SNAP, plus 664 more likely ineligible. 5,000 are also unserved hungry. 4,000 plus unserved adults, plus 664 unserved children. So 11,000 people in Marion County on SNAP. That's something. And the peanut butter and jelly truck, 1,000 where it would normally be 300. That's a good thing, and we'll continue this conversation tomorrow. Thanks for calling.
Let me make one more point.
Go ahead.
Okay. Caller was talking about programs. There's always going to be fraud in any program. Doesn't mean you don't have the program because there's going to be fraud. There's fraud people getting people's income taxes, and, you know, so what are we going to do? No more income taxes sent out to anybody, refunds, because there's fraud in the system. Any program you have, there's always going to be some fraud.
And
we could do a better job sometime eliminating the fraud.
And the conversation continues tomorrow. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right, I'm done for the day. Scott Spears heading to the dugout tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m.
You say you still do auditions. Does the money matter?
Yes, it